everyone. Good evening. My name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor talking about energy. This is the time of the shift. What on earth does that mean? Well, a lot of you have a perception about what the shift means, and some of you might never have heard of it, depending on who's listening tonight. But the shift is a time where supposedly human nature, the human species, is going to have a chance for rapid evolution. That's why we chose Swami Beyondananda and Steve Behrman talking about spontaneous evolution on our Tuesday night show. And, you know, there are many, many ways in which we're impacted by the universe, by the changing frequencies that are not only on our planet and in ourselves, but coming in, downloads from the universe and so on. The Mayan calendar, which kind of wound us all up to prepare for the shift of some sort, nobody quite knowing if it's Y2K or if it's the real McCoy, the Mayan calendar was apparently devised to relate to or to make use of the changing fields of consciousness that come through in our human consciousness. You know, things are changing, and so instead of saying the winds of change, it's saying, okay, we're now getting downloads of higher frequency energy, which are moving through the collective in great shifts, and they move very swiftly every 26,000 years, so that isn't swift in the human frame of reference, is it? And there's an absolute change coming up at this point. I don't know whether the change is going to happen on, what is it, November the something or another, 2011, or whether it's going to happen on, I don't believe all that because I'm a little bit cynical, maybe a little bit too in my head sometimes. But I feel like those huge sweeping changes that are galactic or universal are actually over a period of time. It doesn't start and end bam, bam, usually, unless we get a black hole or something. And even that probably takes a long time to actually explode and touch us with the kind of time and space framework that you and I use. It's very interesting times. In any case, last weekend we were told that was going to be the third weekend of the eclipses. There are three eclipses, and this one was in Cancer. I think they've all been in Cancer over the last month. And this one is going to be in Cancer, and it was going to bring up, the eclipse brings up, what's hidden in the shadow. Now, we're going to have Deb O'Connor come in and talk to us about that. What she said the other day is, I don't know if the eclipse is important as the Grand Cross, and these are the impacts I see. I said, get on the show with me on Thursday night, and let's talk about it. And I don't care if we're all in agreement. I care that we're plumbing the depths of our psyche and relating how these changes or these shifts between energy bodies, between planets, between universes, between us, and how our innate organization of etheric energy, which is supposedly described by our astrological data at birth, and how that moves with the shifting skies or the shifting universes. And I feel like I went through one humongous, I mean, whether or not we believe the eclipses have a huge impact, I went through huge shadow exhumation from Thursday night all the way to Monday. Oops, one day after the other, another piece of it would come up. It was family of origin, it was exes, it was children, it was, you know, pick a thing, anything that has to do with the Cancerian, which is home and family kind of thing. And I have a lot of Cancer in my chart, but it's up in the ninth house, which means it has to do with world teachings, deep philosophical understandings, and I'll ask Deb what exactly it means because I'm not an astrologer, and I used to kind of scorn astrology. I'd say it's not necessary. Now I find it's acutely helpful in understanding what's going on at times. But in any case, what I got, I would consider to be not a scouring so much as, but like somebody whacked me over the head with a handkerchief or with a rug beater or something, and what came up out of my belly or out of my tissues or out of my subconscious or out of my DNA, stuff that's been left over, ways in which I deny myself because of, you've all done this, haven't you? You have some impact as a child or some other lives and you're living it out as a child. You have an impact because of that impact, what do? You hold way back inside, and you control and limit aspects of yourself. You dance around not wanting to release a piece of pain or a rejection or something like that. And I had one every day for 4 days, like, not one, but like one, just like the shift, or just like the Mayan description of the big shift that's going on. It doesn't happen in a split second. It gets evoked, and then it moves through your system, through your consciousness, through your energy fields, and probably in accord or harmony with whether it's the Grand Cross or the shift and my own personal chart and so on and so forth. But it's interesting because I went off to a couple of Al-Anon meetings to keep my head busy, keep my head straight, and I did a lot of the clearing work that you and I talk about on this show and many other shows. I just kept going, bringing it up, feeling it, handing it to God, bringing it up, feeling it, recognizing that it isn't me, it's leftover stuff, over and over again, and also having to do dollops of forgiveness all the way through. And by the end of the weekend, after all our celebrative July 4th stuff, which we also did on July 3rd, I began to feel a new level of self-empowerment, the strangest darn it thing. So what I'm saying is I'd love to talk to you about what happened with you during this ecliptical time. Did you find any big changes? Did you have any traumas on the weekend? What were the themes of your traumas? Were they about, for example, finances? Were they about your physical well-being? Were they about relationships? Were they about home and family? What were yours about? So I'd sure love it if you would call in and talk to me about it. I'm calling it the debris of the eclipse. But having spoken to Deb O'Connor, whose astrological perceptions I truly admire, she's very poetic as well. I realize that it may not just be the eclipse that created that, but for me, the debris had a certain degree of radioactivity to it, and I had to move on through. Did you have some experience like that? We're going to do a meditation. I love to do these meditations with you. My purpose of doing a meditation at the beginning of the show, and it does make some people frustrated because they don't want to waste the time, but my purpose of doing it is that we then become a greater community of journeying together. Vibrationally, when we go into those meditations together, we're all kind of linked. Talk about the internet. This is our, I call it the universal web or universal net. We begin to connect higher self to higher self, belly to belly, back to back, belly to belly. Remember that old song? Anyway, we begin to connect on a much more expanded level, all of us. And listening to BBS radio and other consciousness radio tools, we're doing that anyway, but this way it's my share of creating community. So close your eyes and let's call in the beings of light and truth, consciousness and love, layer after layer after layer after layer, vibrational level after vibrational level of beings that surround you and I. Good. Let's call in the golden light with their help and their support. Call in a golden ball above you and one below and a filament of light running through your spine from the upper golden ball down to the lower golden ball. And drop a four-sided gold pyramid from the upper golden ball to about waist height, maybe 40 feet out. And then upside down, meeting it point to point, another pyramid, another golden pyramid, and its point goes into the lower golden ball. So now you have an eight-sided structure called an octahedron. And that's a really powerful structure in itself. But what does this feel like when you put in there a crystal ball and you have the outside edges of your crystal ball touch the inside edges of your octahedron? Doesn't that change the vibration? I like that part. And then inside of that, you're in a star tetrahedron. You're in a star, three-dimensional star of David, with the filament of light running through you. Now you start to spin and spin and spin in your star. Spin and spin and spin. And as you do, look at the screen in front of you. In the first screen, you're going to see a little movie of you becoming what it is you want to be. I'm not going to suggest. Oh, I always tell you the same thing. I'm always wanting to be multidimensional, consciously multidimensional, in the moment, being able to see, hear, know, and smell all the different dimensions at will, and coming from the heart. What do you want to be? And wrap that in light when you really get a sense of it and move to the next screen on which you're creating a project. What's the project you want to create? See all of the resources coming to it. It can be home and family. It can be very personal. It can be very huge, like a corporation, a television show, a book. Whatever it is you're wanting to create, see yourself doing it. See the resources coming to you. And the money just flows. Circumstance flow, and the people who are tremendous resources and support come to you. And you see your project just glowing and growing. And just bask in it. Appreciate it. And when you really feel that you're there, smile. Wrap it in light and gratitude. And move to the next screen, which is our Galactic Healing Center. And in that healing center, we have a table, a beautiful healing table, surrounded by your healing team. And once again, we want the layers and layers and layers of consciousness which emanate from around this table. The first person on the table is you. And then your team will tell you, yeah, what is it they're doing for you? It's funny. Their team will tell you what they would like to do for you, or you will ask them what you need done. And I find them talking to me right off the bat. What are you experiencing? And I have the urge to write down what they're saying. And when you feel like you've gotten an energy bonding with that team and a sense of the direction of your healing, I feel like I got something brand new that I'm not used to getting. So wrap it up with light and move it to the side. Remember, the team is magical and can replicate itself. So have them appear around a fresh table. Good. And on that table, bring in someone that you want to help or you want to see healed. Okay. Now, I'm bringing in a woman. She's older, quite a lot older. She's got a sadness about her, and I think she's getting a kind of a dementia. And so we're going to wrap her in these healing beings. They're working on her brain, and they're just pouring in this really intense light. Seems like they have kind of vibrational. They're not really showing hands as you and I know them. They're more like vibrational beings that are placed in the place of the hands, and they're working right into her brain. Yeah. And they're moving where some of the blocks have been ossifying or creating blockage in the flow of blood to the brain. And they're speaking to her in a way to help her release her defensiveness. She's been very active in her life, but she's been very, very tight and defended, and they're showing that in her brain it has kept everything from flowing and healing. You know, self-healing is a lot about rejuvenating aspects of your body, isn't it? And what they're telling her is what we really want to release more than anything, more than the physical problems, is a huge resistance to life, a huge containment or defense that she's had. And they're running energy through her brain, through her spinal cord, and through her heart chakra, and her belly, of course. Of course, all the chakras, but they're really going after the intense. There we are. And as they move the energy through her body, I see her beginning to feel more happy. And if that's the best we can do, Yes, we are. Okay. Now we're going to wrap her up in light and move her to the side, bring out a fresh table and a fresh team. Oh, they want two tables. Now we have a couple that are probably parting, a male and a female, both of them very hurt and very damaged. And what they're doing here, which is very interesting to me, is they're moving the attachments and the tethers between them are creating a great deal of pain and injury, as if it was bringing them both to a lower situation than they would have separately. So what they're doing is moving those strings, those vibrational strings of attachment between them, which are actually cellular. They're soothing them to bring them free, because the point of being connected on the soul level is often so we can transform, not so that we have to remain in bondage to one another. Bonding and bondage don't have to be the same thing, do they? So they're working with a great deal of love and compassion for these two to free themselves from the bondage that they've had. And it seems to be working, because she especially, the man, is moving into himself in a different way. Almost as if he's freeing himself. But the woman is pulling out and moving into a more expanded... I can't really explain what the difference is right now, because we're not spending long enough on this. But we're going to wrap them in light. Let's wrap them separately and help the process be continued, even though we're going to push them to the side with light all around them. Now let's bring in the world political situation. Holy mackerel. Talk about a shift. There's so much ending and beginning going on. It's incredible. It seems like every bit of bulletin that I get from, whether it's Huffington Post or MoveOn.org or Truth Out or any of those, and I really don't do the CNN thing. I pick Bob's brain because he does it for us both. Everything seems to be pointing to a lot of... deception and a lot of greed still. It's kind of strange. And a lot of the loss of human rights and financial support, and I gather America's looking at a huge financial crash and burn. I know that we've been looking at that for a long time, but stuff I read today said that we're really on the brink of some really big and dire disastrous things. So let's... the world economic situation is terrible because of, what would we say, disorganization and misspent funds and greed. What else? The rulership of many by a few for some questionable purposes. So let's just see. Let's see the body of the world economic situation sitting, lying on our table. And let's infuse it with love. Let's see it being infused with love, bringing in all those higher beings that are working with us all, and just simply infusing a lot of it with love and respect for all life. Let's bring in that beautiful apricot-colored, salmon-colored frequency, have it come down through the top of your head, down through your heart, and out your arms and your hands, and see yourself radiating this light of harmony and healing to the entire global economic community. Because when people are really infused with love, I don't think they can be greedy like that. We're all talking about in the shift, we're going to have a much greater ability to live as a community, as opposed to if I've got it, you don't. And just flood the economic community, see every dollar, every bank, every person's intention and so on, just see the intention of money being an energy exchange for breaking up ownership so that everyone can move it around. You give it to receive it, you give it to receive it. OK, blockade work. And just flood it. And then wrap it in light. And then bring in some more of that universal download. And send that light to all of the hot spots in the world where people are suffering and aching. Remember, it's a time of the shift, and what we're wanting to do is bring up, thinking about Jackie's show, which follows, we're going to bring up an expansion of the power of the feminine, or the self-realization and expression release of the shadow of the feminine, which has been suppressed for thousands of years. It's trying to rise up and equalize things with the masculine in each of us. So as we send the light round and round the world and infuse all the planet and the hot spots and the difficult places and the sick places and so on with nurturing love, we see that some places that might create the need for the rising of anger and expression of frustration before there can be just the acceptance of love. You'll have to phone in and tell me what you experience. Let's just experience it all. And then wrap the entire world with this light. And hold in your consciousness the right for all beings to enjoy love and to be in self-expression and to come to fulfillment on this planet. Let's just swaddle the earth in that vibration of love and understanding and harmony and see it expand through many dimensions. Now cycle back around the world and bring that in through your hands, that wonderful light, through your arms, into your heart, and up through the top of your head and out into the great central sun. And I want you to pop back in. Close down the healing center. Pop into your star tetrahedron. Spin and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin until you come into this room with me right now. Now, it's almost time for Deb to call in, and she might be a little bit late. So how about you call in and talk to me? There's several of you that are just wanting to call in. And stop just standing there and being doubtful. It's 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. So many times I think we forget what the purpose is of all the work we're doing. We're cleansing and clearing and so on. And people who are tuning in part way are sort of wondering if we're all okay, if we're kind of kooky, if we're all sick, or if we're all just totally neurotic. You know what? I thought it's time to remind everybody what on earth we're doing. We're not just flailing around in our old agonies and pains. We're trying to move the limitations of this species that we are. We came to this planet to learn free will, and we went through some very, to learn love, actually, free will and transcendence and empowerment. We came in and we chose many, many lifetimes in order to gather the wisdom and the information, the reactions, and that we can choose our way out of. I mean, that sounds really simplistic. But here we are coming to a time of the shift where we're supposedly going to be able to move out of the subconscious drives to keep running program after program after program, the drives that run programs energetically so that you go out into the world, you create the same kind of relationships all the time. If you've been abused a lot, you go out there and get abused and abused and abused and create abuse, abuse, abuse until you've cleared enough of it so that you have a choice. You don't do that anymore. You're conscious about what's in your belly. And I'm conscious that you're on the air. Thank you. You're here. Welcome.
Hi, Veronica. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I'm glad you called.
Yes, this is Lisa calling. I actually have a question, but I want to take on what you were saying about the solar eclipse. I know
me.
Yes. What happened is a little similar, but it was in relationship to men. I actually met a guy on the 1st of July during the eclipse. I have not dated in like 3 or 4 years. I haven't even been thinking about this. Yes. Met a guy, We exchanged information, kind of keeping in touch. But over the weekend, it brought up so many things about my past relationships that I thought I had healed. So I'm like, all right, I will sit this weekend and I will purge the rest of this out because I want to make sure that I am open to the next relationship. Yeah, it was very interesting.
How'd you do?
I feel like I got a lot of it out. Oh, yeah. Good.
And it's very fortuitous, isn't it?
Yes. It's very interesting, though, especially when you feel like you've healed some things, but I guess, like you were saying, it's not really stuff that's totally present-day stuff. It's just stuff that maybe my energy is just clearing out.
And we don't know if it's just ours or if it's from many lifetimes or it's from the collective. And if it's from our lineage, you know, it's really, I don't think we need to spend our time trying to decide which file folder it's from, do we?
Yeah, good. but I do have a question, if you don't mind, if I could ask.
Sure.
It's in relationship to the guy that I met. So,
great.
Yes, I've met him, but I'm wondering, is this going to go anywhere, or is someone else coming along? Because now that I've opened up this whole part of me, I'm like, oh, now I'm open to dating.
Well, first of all, I think what's really intriguing, Lisa, that he came in almost as a missionary to kick you into awakening. But I think he's coming back in with a different quality now because you have made huge changes. You know, like the same person can attract the old patterns and the same person can then attract the new side of you. He's more that kind of guy. And I think he's kind of holding back, which is a good sign. He's going to be slow.
Very.
Well, I think that's really good for you because you can measure the steps of your belly. Isn't that a peculiar way to put it? The belly being the housing for your karma, you know.
Oh.
I think that he is a possibility, but there is another man as well. So you may find yourself going out with two different guys for a while.
Well, I guess I have to stay open, huh?
Well, the thing about that is you want to be slow in the sense that, I mean, here you are. You've gone through so much healing. You're getting stronger and you're brighter and you're closer and closer to who you really are. And that, you're going to test that out. You're going to test it out in the reflections that you get from being with these people. That doesn't mean you have to have a whole series of wild and passionate affairs, but I believe you're going to be given two different reflections of who you are, and you're going to study those carefully. So take it slowly at first, and then I don't think you'll be alone for very long at all. You'll be choosing between them in a short period of time. And I don't know what short is. What's short? 10 years? 1 year? 20 minutes? I don't know.
I think like 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, you know what? And also because if you're like the rest of us, in which you are, honey, that those of us who are working so hard on ourselves keep slamming into our issues. Hello? And we want that because there's a speed up. We know this. Things are going 20 times faster than they were. I think that started a few months back. 20 times, the vibrations are moving up, and they're going way faster, which means that we'll be really peaceful, and then we're totally neurotic, and then we're really peaceful. So these guys are having to experience that too, you see.
I got you.
So I like this man, honey. I like him a lot. I feel like he's not very conscious, meaning he's not able to talk this way right now, but inside, intuitively, he's able to know when he's out of line with himself and is into an old trap. You see, so he's got that kind of consciousness. He's younger?
No. Yeah, he's younger than me. He's like 29. So I was like,
and how old are you?
I'm 40. But I got along with him really well. Like, we make, I get him.
Yeah, but you know what? He's wiser than a lot of people, and he has a real intense intuitive sensitivity.
Yeah.
Younger men are sometimes more comfortable with that than the older guys used to be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure it's the age thing, but the other guy's more your age.
Got you. And have I missed this other guy yet? Or is...
No.
Got
but
you.
I'd be surprised if you didn't meet him soon.
Okay. Well, I will keep you posted.
Well, I hope everybody who's listening is going to be all prepared for that. Because you're not the only one going through this kind of stuff. I see several people out there going, oh, my God, that sounds like me.
Oh, good. Good.
We'll see what Deb has to say when she talks about the Grand Cross, because she says there's some really difficult pushes going on in people that are about, again, clearing. So we'll see what that's about.
Yeah, as long as they bring out the pot, like I know a lot of my friends and family have been having experiences, but I'm actually kind of trying to help them stay grounded because they're like, I don't know, it can be overwhelming.
Right.
If you let it. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I like what you said. I'm just going to stay home and work my issues.
Yeah.
I worked my issues. Like I said, I went to 2 meetings. I went to, you know, I went through great deep searches. I didn't let myself, and this is what I recommend for everybody, not to do it just like me, but to don't let yourself become numbed or ignorant of stuff that's trying to rise in you, even if it's ugly and you hate it.
Yeah, I hear you.
Because it'll disperse. Yeah. Your stuff dispersed pretty fast this weekend, didn't it?
Yes, it did, and I'm grateful for that. But I've been trying to work on this for a while, so I've kind of got my own little toolbox. I have.
But the other thing is that you know this, so you meet Prince Charming, and he's maybe a little younger, but he's really quite a sweet man. And it's something like that that's going to trigger the up-and-coming, the presence of more of the hidden stuff. Wow. Right?
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
Well, I think he is fun, actually.
Oh, good. That's good to know.
And I think he might be a tiny bit smitten with you.
I get that, but yet, like you said, he's taking his time, and so I'm like, okay, I'm totally fine with that. I don't like rushing, but I get that he likes me. Like, it's very evident.
Yeah, and he needs that centering as well, so I like that. 2 people centering, but then the other Prince Charming comes in, and oh dear, so you'll have to stay centered, aren't you? You're going to have to stay centered, honey.
Oh, that's interesting. Got you.
And your mom, is your mom still living? Is she working through something? Because it's like there's a tumultuousness in your family of origin, which has kept you slightly off center with yourself.
Yes. My mom is actually still alive. And we've been talking lately a lot because we've had issues. But I hope I'm working them out.
Oh, I think you are, but I think she's got her own growth patterns that are really disrupting her centering. So the hard thing about that is sometimes that will disrupt one another. The good thing about that is then we get the family of origin stuff up and out.
And it'll be healed, hopefully, for her.
Yeah. Well, not just for her. It's for the whole lineage. It's for all of you. If you can do some healing like that with your mother, that really just radiates through the whole family.
But how would I go about doing that with her? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you. It's just that because she's also going through something, you might find yourself being oddly disrupted at times,
because
it radiates out and it goes through your vibrational fields as well. So if you can feel that, it's my mother, if you can feel like, oh, my mother drives me crazy or something, you call her up in your body, mind, and command total release, because that's part of the problem with the empathy of mother-daughter or the lineage or anything, you know, just the whole family, is we live in reaction at a vibrational level one to the other. but you can pull yourself out of it these days.
Mm-hmm. And by calling
so
on
like
it and
asking. Yeah, calling it up.
Got it.
And trust yourself. Now I have another call, but thank you. You've been very, very helpful tonight.
Yes, yes, thank you.
keep us posted. Bless your heart.
I will. I definitely will. Thanks again.
Okay, honey. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Veronica.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Hey, can I change the subject for a minute?
Of course. And who are you? Who are you?
I'm Lance, and I'm in Wyoming.
Hi, Lance from Wyoming. We're glad to talk to you.
Hey, I just kind of want to tell you, I've been working with crystals for the last couple months, and they've, like, totally changed my life.
Yay!
Back in April, I was really depressed and just not knowing what to do and stuff, and so I started working just, you don't even have to do anything with them, just be around them, crystals and stones, and I've had some pretty amazing things happen.
So what happened?
Well, I got like this, it's one crystal called Celestite, and it's a blue crystal, and it's supposed to connect you with like your angels and stuff. So that totally changed my life, put me in a lot better mood. I really didn't like my job that I was doing. It doesn't bother me now. I really don't mind going to work. Another thing, I don't know how to put this. I always thought about sex too much, all right? I was sitting there one time laying on my bed. I'm not a very good meditator. And I was just sitting there holding this crystal, and red jasper came, like it wafted into me, the color, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a brownish red color, and it's for your base chakra, your sexuality, okay? Mm-hmm. So I just let that color infuse into me. And I don't even think about it anymore.
Wow. Well, you're turning into a little wizard here, are you?
Well, no, I don't like to be called a wizard. But I just wanted to let everybody know, whoever's listening, you know, if they're having any problems or anything, go check out some crystals or stones. And if one, like, jumps out at you, just take it home. And just sit with it. I mean, you really don't have to do anything with them, you know.
Oh, that's
wonderful. They're amazing. They're amazing. Anyway, that's all I wanted to tell you. I've been debating on whether to call you for a few weeks or not. And I finally got
I'm really glad you did. And I have a client who brought me a little piece of moldavite, which I've been carrying around with me. Not that we ever need to change too much these days, but moldavite, of course, is wonderful for change.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was sleeping with it and carrying it, and I'm changing
so
right now. I don't know.
Did you have anything happen when you were with the moldavite?
Not really, except I'm already changing so fast, it's hard to know which came first, but I feel very much more, I feel great with it. You know what I mean? I feel good. I feel centered in the middle of rapid change.
That's great. So do I. I feel the same way. It's amazing. I just can't even explain how wonderful I am.
Well, I'm so glad you called in and reported to us.
All right. Well, thank you, and I sure appreciate your shows.
Thanks, Lance.
I listen to them quite often, and they're wonderful.
Good.
I just thank you for having them.
Thank you so much. All right. Well, that was a good story, too. That's all the tools. We have so many tools. One of my favorite is the energy tools that we used at the beginning. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Veronica. It's Deb.
Hey, Deb. How are you in the grand chaos of things?
Just fine.
I've been telling people you're going to call in and tell us what's up.
What's up? Oh, my gosh. Well, I don't know how much new I have to tell you. I mean, the sort of exciting thing or the sort of extraordinary thing that happened most recently was the new moon in Cancer last week that was eclipsed. And we sort of talked about that last week, but we, I guess we could talk now about sort of the resonance of it and what's happened since then relative to our families and our understanding of our place there. And I think we didn't have very much time last week. One of the things that we were talking about at the very end was the fact that eclipsed moon in Cancer gives everybody kind of a new start in terms of understanding what it is about the family dynamic or our place in the family dynamic that we'd like to shift, that we can actually see much more clearly now. Because I think one of the things we need to remember about an eclipse is that an eclipse basically says there's something in the dark you want to see. We so often think that it means we're being put into the dark, but really we're discovering what's in the dark if we want to do the work, which I think probably all your listeners want to do. You and I were talking about some of the things that happened in our lives around this eclipse.
Oh, my.
Earlier.
You were probably not on when our caller called in to say that she's been single for quite a while and she met somebody during the eclipse.
Yeah, I just finished facilitating a group, which is an astrology group that I've been working with every, one night a week for 10 years. And one of the women in there said sort of the same thing. She said, I had this guy call me who was like one of my most beloved lovers 15 years ago. I haven't heard from him in 15 years, and he called me on Friday.
Oh.
Yeah. And everyone else in this group was relaying stories of all things that have to do with family. You know, the thing to remember with the astrological language is that we talk about this eclipsed moon, and we know that we've got the moon, which is a lot about the heart and the way we nurture and the way we've been nurtured. And then it's in the sign of Cancer, which is its own sign. So it's such a moon on steroids anyway, emotionally. But then the thing for each person to know, which you can't know, which I can't tell people on the radio, is which one of the 12 houses in their zodiac this moon landed in. Because I had somebody who had the eclipse happen in their 11th house, which is a great big communal place. I mean, it's just the whole community of people we share a vision with, we do big work in the world. And then I had somebody else who had the whole thing happen in the 4th house of home, and for her it was a much more poignant and kind of emotionally intense time. So each of us are going to experience it differently because we're all experiencing any one of these transits in a different part of our life.
How do we find out where it is? I suppose that's a whole big job. They have to talk to you, right?
Well, you have to have your chart read, yeah. Or you can go online and go to one of the 5,000 astrology sites there where they give you a free chart. Just plug in your information and get a chart. But you have to be able to know how to find Cancer. But, it was a 9-degree Cancer moon.
Okay.
For anyone who has their chart and knows how to figure that out, that new moon was at 9 degrees of Cancer.
Well, can we be playful for a minute? I mean, can we figure out where it is in our transit according to what happened in our life?
Yeah, and with you, I think it was probably your 8th house. Is 9 degrees of Cancer in your 8th house? Because you've got Gemini, the sign right before Cancer, is in your 8th house. That's where your sun stellium is. Mm-hmm. And so it was either in your 8th or your 9th, but I'm going around my computer trying to find this up.
Well, you don't have to. I just was curious because I told you I had a client who said, well, it depends which house is crossing. And I went, oh, mine was really thorough on many aspects of home and family. So that could be the ending of a lot of things and a little bit of drama,
Yeah. Yeah. No, for you, it was in the 9th house, which is an understanding. It was also, this moon was also merged with your Venus in Cancer, and that's another thing for people to know is that if this particular moon fell on top of one of the planetary archetypes in their chart, then they're going to feel it intensely through that particular kind of, like for your Venus is your sense of yourself as a woman, of the, your feminine.
And so for the moon, the Venus and the moon are the only two female archetypes in the chart anyway. So when they're merged like that, it would really have brought up for you a lot around both the part of you that's the mother and the part of you that's the woman.
I bought an apron. No, I didn't. I lied about that.
but you know what I mean? It'd be like, look, I'm a mother, but I'm also a woman in the world.
Yes.
I'm not only a mother, you know what I mean?
Right. I have places to go and people to meet. So tell me just quickly, you did say to me, you know what, it's not just about the eclipse. I don't think it's all that crucial. And you said it.
No, I think,
we don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have a thorough time for this, but you can say something.
No, it's just that people make such a big thing out of eclipses. But you know, if you notice, the online astrologers are making a big deal out of everything. It's like it's all, oh my gosh, the Earth is going to shake and divide in half, and oh, we're going to have 15 tsunamis when this happens, and 12 earthquakes when that happens. And I'm really kind of weary of hearing all of that, because it's true that what we're experiencing inner tsunamis, and sort of inner earthquakes, and you know, and that moon completed a grand square. It wouldn't even have to have been eclipsed. It was a powerful moon. And now we're on to the next thing this week, which is there's so much energy afoot right now that it's almost hard to know where to start in 10 minutes. But, yeah, but everybody's still feeling the tide pull back off of this whole thing around our families. And most of the people I know really became clearer and stronger relative to this Cancer new moon. It sure sounds like you did.
Oh yeah, I feel way more powerful.
Yeah, and the thing is, it was
shell shocked. What?
Yeah, well, it was opposing Pluto, so there you are. I mean, you know, Pluto always brings up where we're afraid, where we're shamed, where we're pretty sure that if we really go there, there's going to be some sort of an emotional apocalypse or something. And a lot of people felt that, but we kind of went into it, and then we came out the other side.
Here we are. So is it going to look better? Is it going to look easier over the next little while?
No, I don't think it's ever going to be easy again. I mean, I really don't. I think we have left what we consider to be normal behind us for good. And you know, and what does easy mean? I think it's easy. It's going to be. We're going to continue to be challenged to look at the things that we're afraid to let go of because they make us feel comfortable in the old way. And so it's easy. It's easier if we just let go of them than if we hang on to them. So I guess that would be how it would be easier. But we're in the middle of a phenomenal breakdown, and Pluto and Uranus are going to be opposing each other until 2023. I mean, not opposing, sorry, squaring each other until 2023. So we just kind of have to get used to it. Things are shaking.
Well, we are.
And breaking down. Yeah.
Ball bearing. Ball bearings working for us.
Yeah. We all need some rollerblades.
Well, tell everybody what your address is so they can get hold of you. And I didn't receive, because I've had no internet, I have not received your send out, you know, your flyer.
My column? Yeah.
Yeah,
so I put a column out every other week, and if anybody's interested reading it, my website is www.lovedogdesign.com, and my email is Deb, short for Deborah, deb@lovedogdesign.com, all one word. Thank you, Veronica.
And I love the profundity of your work and the youthfulness of it and the poetic way in which you put it forward. Oh, my goodness.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I'll talk to you soon. Okay. Bye-bye.
Good night. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, if you've got a few minutes, if you want to call in quickly, but that's really talking a lot about how you and I have our own special vibrational imprint. And the universe does too, and golly, it's changing. It's waving us into a shift. And as Deb says, it's not going to stop facing a deepening authentication and reinvention. Well, just with two planets that she mentioned till 2023, and I know there are many other moving parts as well. But I find it more and more fascinating how we're kind of picking up speed and creating ourselves anew and differently. And the biggest thing is, as so many things fall apart, and we all get afraid, don't pretend you don't, it's really important to look at that fear and hand it over and really try to give in and surrender to the rising waves of change and expansion in consciousness and so on that are truly going to lead us or can lead us to a much higher level of consciousness and more community action. I think it can be very, very exciting, the emergence of new systems, perhaps not capital S systems, but flows that really have some consciousness of their own. That's my dream. And have love in them. So Tuesday night, I'm going to have Suzanne Eder. That's what it is. I was going to say Evers, but that is not right. Eder, and I should have brought her book in, but her book is 10 Ways to Deal with These Changes Without Panicking. She also has a website called solidground.com. She's a really, really interesting woman, a counselor, very, very intuitive, who will work with us all on transformation and dealing with rapid change in a way that kind of makes it exciting. I'm kind of excited about it, too. It's easy to listen to a lot of people being afraid of loss. Guess what? We always have to have loss. We have to relinquish a lot. And I wanted to talk about this. We don't have time. But we need to relinquish our identities the way we've built them up. And that's not an easy thing to do on certain levels. And another one it is. It's just like really getting in touch with the list of things that you use to keep yourself identified in the world. Call them up, feel them, and drop them, and begin to find the emergence of new levels of yourself. That kind of loss is a loss that brings you to new levels of possibility for yourself and others. Right after this is going to be Jackie Salvitti and ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. And this ought to be a hoop-de-doo show. I was talking to Jackie. I didn't get her flyer this week, but I'm having computer karma right now. But anyway, she's talking about, you know, the feminine is rising to take hold and even out with the patriarchy, and gosh knows if it's going to take till 2023. Who knows? But in any case, feminine awareness is rising up even in men to help balance things out. So she's talking about the rising of feminine rage and our consciousness of feminine rage. So is the team. It's the team's idea, apparently. She has some wonderful channeling, and I'm very much looking forward to this particular show. Stay with us at the top of the hour. If you've got time, you'll learn a lot, too. Thank you so much for listening to Radiance by Design. I love you. Take a deep breath. And let's breathe love out to one another in our Radiance by Design community. If you'd like a session with me, or if you'd like to feedback on this radio show or Paradigm Shifters or even ET Healing, please email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. Good night, everyone, and much love.